This week on the show, does a new federal business reporting requirement affect resellers? FedEx announces a would-be competitor to Amazon and the Fed's case against eBay for the harassment of the couple who runs e-commerce Bytes finally draws to a close. Sort of. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to episode number 233 of the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. My name is Ryan, and I will be your host as we go through some interesting reselling news this week and a little bit of what sold in the back half of the show. I hope everyone is doing well and staying warm. I'm in the greater Cincinnati area, and it's like 5 degrees today. It is really chilly here in the basement YouTube studio, so hopefully you're all doing well, staying warm, and staying safe. With all that out of the way, let's get right into this reselling news.
News updates.
So a tip of the cap to Den Decor Depot, who pointed this information out to me over on Instagram, shameless plug at Galaxy CDs Rocks. If you're not following me over there, he sent me a screenshot of an article, and I've done a little bit of research on it. And this is an interesting one that is going to affect some resellers, but not all. It's going to affect some businesses, but not all. It's not being really well publicized. This is a new regulation that just went out, I believe, from the Treasury Department that went into effect on January 1st. Part of the Corporate Transparency Act, it took effect with what's called beneficial ownership reporting requirements. That doesn't really roll off the tongue, but that's what this is all about. Starting January 1st of this year, the Corporate Transparency Act and its implementing regulations mandate that certain U.S. legal entities and foreign entities registered to do business in the United States, collectively known as reporting companies for the purposes of this particular regulation, report certain beneficial ownership information to the U.S. Department of the Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which is also known as FinCEN. According to them, this reporting requirement is intended to enhance the ability of FinCEN and other agencies to protect the U.S. financial system from illicit use, bringing the United States in line with at least 30 other countries that have implemented some form of central registry for BOI information. These requirements also took effect January 1st. This article, which is over on nationallawreview.com, and I will link to this in the show notes in the video description down below, describes some of the types of organizations that are required to report their information of their owners to this new FinCEN BOI clearinghouse, if you will. Domestic reporting companies are any corporation, limited liability company, LLC, or other similar entity created by filing a document with a Secretary of State or similar office of a state or Indian tribe. This is where it's going to get tricky, probably for some resellers. It does not indicate there whether or not a sole proprietorship is required to register under this. My bank, Fifth Third Bank, does say that sole proprietors are excluded. They list exclusions as sole proprietorships, trusts, authorized users of credit cards, and non-account owners. So, as resellers, if you have set your business up as a corporation or an LLC, according to what I can glean from this information, you are going to be required to report all of your owner's information, which is name, address, federal tax number, whether it's social security number or a business number, to this agency. If you are a sole proprietorship, however, which I think a lot of resellers probably are, you're filing 1040 Schedule C to report your business income, you're not going to be required to do that because all of your pertinent information, your name, your social, your address, is already being provided to the government in your tax filings. That's my reading of this. Again, I'm a guy doing a podcast in my basement. I'm not a lawyer or an accountant, so take that with a grain of salt. But having spent a couple of days reading various articles on this, that is my impression. If you're a sole proprietor filing 1040 Schedule C, you're not going to be required to register for this. If you have, however, formed an LLC or a corporation, some kind of entity like that, you're going to be required to report anyone who is an owner or partial owner of that organization to this new program. Foreign reporting companies, again, any corporation, LLC, or other entity formed under the laws of a foreign country that is registered to do business in any U.S. state or tribal jurisdiction by the filing of a document, again, with the Secretary of State or any similar office. In a fact sheet FinCEN published concurrently with these new reporting rules, they stated it expects these reporting companies to include limited liability partnerships, limited liability limited partnerships, business trusts, and most limited partnerships, in addition to corporations and LLCs, as such entities are generally created by filing with a Secretary of State or similar office. So again, sole props. We appear to be in the clear on this, but if you are an LLC or something similar to that, this regulation is going to impact you. There is a whole list. There are tons and tons of other exclusions and exemptions from this, most of which would not apply to us as resellers. That list is included here in this article. So if you would like to take a look at that, again, I will link to it below. Do I have on here? I think, yes. Companies that existed or are registered prior to January 1st of this year are required to complete their registration by no later than January 1st of 2025. So the clock's ticking. You've got essentially almost a full year to complete your registration. There is a website that you go to. I did not go and look. I don't know how complicated a process that registration is, but you have essentially until the end of the year to get your business registered. So again, I will link to this in the show notes down below. I strongly encourage you to go take a look at it. If you have any questions about it and you have an attorney or an accountant, probably want to talk to them about it. But again, guy in my basement, take it for what it's worth. I don't think if you're a sole proprietor, according to my reading of all of this, that you're going to be required to register. So there you go. Again, tip of the cap to Den Decor Depot for pointing this out. His initial comment was that he wasn't sure it was reselling related. And as I read it further and further, there are resellers who have organized their business in a way that they will be required to report this. I believe I read somewhere where the penalties can be up to $500 a day if you have not registered on time. So this is not something that you want to take lightly. Again, it's not being broadly communicated to people. I don't know how people are supposed to find out and know about this. There was another article I read that estimated that something north of 32 million different businesses, many of them who are quite small, would be required to participate in this. One of the exemptions is big corporately held stock traded type companies, because all that information is already on file. So this primarily is going to affect small and medium-sized businesses that are not publicly traded. So again, just be aware of it. Take a look. Talk to your people and decide whether or not you need to register for this. They don't give any specific mechanism about how it's going to be enforced, but I assume they'll be looking at tax filings and then matching them up against this registry somehow. So there you go. This just broke over the weekend. This was an interesting one. FedEx announced they're building their own all-in-one e-commerce platform. It's called FDX and is expected to launch later this year. This article is over on Engadget. They're planning to launch an e-commerce platform called FDX later this year. The shipping company announced the move on Sunday, describing it as an end-to-end online shopping hub that aims to provide sellers with solutions for everything from reaching potential customers to order fulfillment and returns. This article says that sounds familiar. FedEx says it's targeting fall 2024 for the launch. Details so far, according to this article, are pretty scant, but it's being billed as a data-driven platform that will use FedEx Insights to optimize basically every part of the buying and selling process. From the get-go, sellers on FDX will have access to the existing network of customers on the e-commerce site ShopRunner, which apparently FedEx owns. I had no idea about that. And customers will be able to see delivery estimates on products as they browse and add things to their carts even before checkout. Sellers will be provided, interestingly, with carbon emissions reports relating to their supply chain decisions, optimal shipping routes, and more. Again, details are really scant. Do you have to ship by FedEx to use this service as a seller, or will other shipping options be available? Is this just because it's owned by them? I don't necessarily think that that's the case, but it'll be really interesting to see as we get a little bit closer to launch what the details of this actually are. And if this does represent another potential platform for us as resellers to sell on and have an opportunity to make some money on. FedEx is calling FDX a first of its kind platform, which this article points out seems like a bit of a stretch, but we'll find out soon enough, they say. So there you go, a new platform coming. at least planned to come later this year, owned and operated by FedEx. Interesting. So this is the gift that, as I've mentioned before, just keeps on giving. We have been reporting on this court case against eBay for their harassment of the couple that runs e-commerce Bytes for a couple of years now, off and on, as it has worked its way through the court system. And this past week, the Department of Justice entered into a what they call a deferred prosecution agreement with eBay over these cyber stalking crimes. This was announced on January 11th. eBay is to pay $3 million in connection with the corporate cyber stalking campaign targeting the Massachusetts couple. eBay has agreed to pay a $3 million criminal penalty for an August 2019 harassment and intimidation campaign targeting the Massachusetts couple in retaliation for their online coverage of eBay and for their obstruction of the investigation that followed. eBay was charged criminally with two counts of stalking through interstate travel, two counts of stalking through electronic communication services, one count of witness tampering, and one count of obstruction of justice, and has entered into this deferred prosecution agreement. Pursuant to the agreement, eBay has admitted to a detailed recitation of all of the relevant facts about its conduct and agreed to pay a criminal penalty of $3 million, which is the statutory maximum fine for these six felony offenses. Note that none of that money is going to the Steiners, who were the target of this, and we'll get into that here in a few minutes as well. As part of the resolution, eBay will also be required to retain an independent corporate compliance monitor for a period of 3 years and to make extensive enhancements to their compliance program. Quote, eBay engaged in absolutely horrific criminal conduct. The company's employees and contractors involved in this campaign put the victims through pure hell in a petrifying campaign aimed at silencing their reporting and protecting the eBay brand, said acting United States Attorney Joshua S. Levy. We left no stone unturned in our mission to hold accountable every individual who turned the victim's world upside down through a never-ending nightmare of menacing and criminal acts. The investigation led to felony convictions for seven individuals, which we have reported on this show over the preceding months, all of whom were former eBay employees or contractors. The ringleader was sentenced to 57 months in federal prison. He continued, today's criminal resolution with the company imposes the maximum fine that the law allows under the statutes, holding eBay accountable for corporate culture that led to this unprecedented stalking campaign. The corporate monitoring of eBay will be in place for the next 3 years and will ensure that eBay's senior leadership sets a tone that makes compliance with the law paramount, implements safeguards to prevent future criminal activity, and makes clear to every eBay employee that the idea of terrorizing innocent people and obstructing investigations will not be tolerated. So this article, which again I will link to down below, kind of goes over the stuff we have covered on this show multiple times about what the harassment campaign looked like, what it involved, who it involved, and so on. I'm not going to relitigate all of that here today, but it was a massive cyber stalking, legit in-person stalking campaign, and it has finally started to come to some resolution. Essentially, what happens with this deferred program, if eBay does everything that they claim they are going to do and that they've agreed to do as part of this agreement, after that three-year period, the charges will actually be dropped. So that's an interesting setup. They will still have to pay the fine, but there will be no criminal penalty for eBay as a company beyond the fine if they do what they're supposed to. Of course, there were statements from both the Steiners, who were the targets of the campaign, and from eBay. The Steiners posted theirs, of course, over on e-commerce Bytes. And as always, I will link to this down below. With today's deferred prosecution agreement, eBay is not required to stand before a judge for sentencing, they point out. But we feel it's important that we as victims be heard. In 2022, we were crushed when we learned the government had not interviewed the top executives at eBay as part of its criminal investigation. As victims of despicable crimes meant to destroy our lives and livelihood, we felt it was vital to do everything in our power to make sure such a thing never happened to anyone else. eBay's actions against us had a damaging and permanent impact on us emotionally, psychologically, physically, reputationally, and financially, and we strongly pushed federal prosecutors for further indictments to deter corporate executives and board members from creating a culture where stalking and harassment is tolerated or encouraged. We launched our new site in 1999 to help regular people and small businesses succeed in selling online. When sellers succeed, so do the platforms on which they sell. a point I make on this show. I feel like every week. But we were targeted because we gave eBay sellers a voice and because we reported facts that top executives didn't like publicly laid bare. Since the government first arrested some of the perpetrators and filed charges in June of 2020, we have heard from sellers who are fearful of communicating legitimate concerns to us, e-commerce bites, or to eBay or other marketplaces as well, because they fear retaliation. This is something I've talked about again on this show previously, where sellers are just, some are ranting about just the most random things on the various message boards, and some are just clamming up and not saying anything because they're afraid that eBay or Etsy or whoever it is going to retaliate against them or their business in some way. Not only is that devastating to hear, they go on, but when sellers are afraid to speak up, it undermines our reporting. It also makes it difficult for the platforms to fix things that are problems. You have to be willing to accept criticism and feedback in order to make your platform better for both buyers and sellers and potentially even be more profitable. And in this particular case, eBay obviously violated numerous laws in trying to quiet this all down. They note, after today's announcement, we remain determined to push for answers and do whatever we possibly can to ensure that no corporation ever feels the option exists for them to squash a person's First Amendment rights. They do also point out, in the interest of disclosure, that we and Steiner Associates LLC, which is the company that owns e-commerce Bytes, filed a civil lawsuit against eBay and its former employees with a trial date that's currently scheduled for March 3rd of 2025. As I mentioned in the previous little article, the $3 million is a criminal penalty that is not going to the Steiners. They are suing eBay for, I assume, a significant amount of monetary damages. So this thing, as I said, it's only sort of over because there's this civil lawsuit yet to go, and eBay does have to comply with the agreement of their deferred prosecution agreement for the next 3 years. eBay, for their part, of course, also issued a statement saying the company's conduct in 2019 was wrong and reprehensible, said Jimmy Iannone, their current CEO. From the moment eBay first learned of these events, eBay cooperated fully and extensively with law enforcement authorities. We continue to extend our deepest apologies to the Steiners for what they endured. They don't give any indication, however, that they plan to settle with them in this lawsuit, so that is interesting. Since these events occurred, new leaders have joined the company, and eBay has strengthened its policies, procedures, controls, and training. eBay remains committed to upholding high standards of conduct and ethics and to making things right with the Steiners. It's the first time I've heard anyone from eBay indicate that they plan to do something to try to make this right. So I suppose there is still hope, light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, that they'll settle out of court and this thing will finally be put to rest. The U.S. Attorney's Office has acknowledged that eBay provided extensive cooperation to the government during the course of its parallel investigation. They noted in the deferred prosecution agreement, the company's cooperation included, quote, proactively disclosing certain evidence of which the United States was previously unaware. So they told on themselves, which I also found quite interesting. That's the first time I've seen anything like that, where eBay actually provided incriminating evidence against themselves that the federal government did not unearth in their own investigation. So that is to eBay's current leadership's credit. All of the people who were involved with this obviously are no longer with eBay. So I continue to see a lot of people, you know, bashing eBay's current executives. And from all indications, the current crop of executives had nothing to do with any of this and have been very forthcoming with information regarding this particular incident to the extent that they were able to find that information. Under the three-year deferred prosecution agreement, eBay has agreed that the U.S. Attorney's Office will file a six-count criminal information in the United States District Court for the District of Massachusetts, and the U.S. Attorney has agreed to defer any prosecution of eBay on those counts. During the three-year term, eBay will continue to cooperate fully with the U.S. Attorney's Office and will be subject to an independent compliance monitor to assess its compliance program and, where appropriate, to modify that program. They will also be required, they note, to pay that $3 million penalty if eBay successfully meets the obligations under the deferred prosecution agreement. After 3 years, the agreement will expire, and the U.S. Attorney has agreed to dismiss the criminal information against eBay. So the story is not yet fully complete. There's still some chapters to be written, but it does appear finally to be moving towards some closure. Hopefully eBay makes good with the Steiners and this thing can be settled once and for all. So that, my friends, is your reselling news. Let's get into a little bit more fun stuff, hopefully. A little bit of what sold last week here at the Galaxy. So it was a crazy busy week last week, but not a lot of big ticket items. Again, if you follow me over on Instagram in my weekly recap, I think I had 105 listings that sold. Some of those were multiple listing purchases. I had one individual who bought probably 25 or 30 of those science fiction digests that I've been talking about over the last couple of months at anywhere from $5 to almost $20 a pop. So I don't have those here because they were buying them on offers back and forth. And it's, there was really no way to make a good photo of that. But that accounted for, gosh, a pretty significant percentage of that 105. But it was a pretty good week. January continues to be pretty strong. Again, I'm not comping up to last January, but I frankly did not expect to, because that was, again, the month that I had a lot of stuff from my brother's warehouse close out. Some big ticket items that I normally don't sell, but I am still trending ahead of my pace for December. So January continues to look like another terrific month. So let's get into some of these items. I'm pretty sure it's almost all books. Once again, this is Positively Main Street, An Unorthodox View of Bob Dylan. It was written by Toby Thompson, 1971, hardcover with its dust jacket. I've had this for a little bit over a year. I bought it at an estate sale for $1. I had it listed for $25.99. It went for 20% off in my current sale, $20.79 plus media mail shipping. Interesting book. I was at an estate sale, gosh, probably in September of last year, and picked up a huge bunch of Civil War history books and memorabilia type stuff, magazines and newsletters and that sort of thing. This is a book called Valor in Gray, The Recipients of the Confederate Medal of Honor. It was written by Greg S. Clemmer. Nice hardcover in its dust jacket, illustrated book in pretty good condition. There was a little bit of a tear on the dust jacket. Had this thing listed for $24.99 or best offer. Got a watcher, sent out my 15% off offer, and sold it for $21.24. My cost of goods sold is $2. This is a book that I picked up at the Lima area Friends of the Library sale. Back in the summer. Scripture Animals by Reverend Jonathan Fisher. This was a 1972 reprint by Pine Press. Nice illustrated hardcover with its dust jacket, ex-library edition. The cool thing about this particular book was that it had Pine Press's original press release touting the reissue of this book. The book was originally published, I believe, in either the late 18 or early 1900s, and this is a reissue of it. Interesting sketches of animals that would have appeared in the scriptures in really good shape for an ex-library book. I felt like that press release thing added a little bit of value, so I went a little bit high on this. I had it listed for $29.99 or best offer. Again, sent out an offer to a watcher at 15% off and sold it for $25.49. Book from a big lot of science and engineering textbooks that I bought at an estate sale, gosh, well over a year ago now. This is Transients in Electrical Circuits by Lego Wadelich from 1958, published by the Ronald Press Company. Illustrated hardcover, kind of a textbook. Estate sale buy, $2. I had it listed originally for $39.99. It was in my 25% off sale, therefore listed for $29.99. I sent out an offer for an additional 10% off to a watcher and sold it for $26.99. For sale over on Etsy, Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary in 7 volumes, volume number 1. This was published by the Review and Herald back in 1953. I think I had a couple of weeks ago volume number 8 of this, which was a later edition, which was a dictionary and index that I talked about that I sold for like $16. These original volumes I had listed for $27.99 plus shipping, and that's what it sold for over on Etsy. My cost of goods sold on this is $2. Another sale over on Etsy. I had one of these again a couple of weeks ago. Dictionary of the Bible, Volume 3. This was KIR through Pleiades from 1906. Was a Scribner's publication written by James Hastings, or at least compiled by James Hastings. Another one I picked up. Did not have a complete set of these. Got them at an estate sale probably 2 years ago for a couple of bucks a piece. This sold for also $27.99 plus shipping. And here's the last one. Like I said, not a super week of big sales, just a lot of like sub $20 bread and butter type stuff. But this was the Conquest and Colonization of the Yucatan from 1517 to 1550. It was written in 1966 by Robert Chamberlain. Illustrated hardcover in pretty good condition. This sold over on Etsy for $49.99 plus shipping. And that is pretty much the extent of what sold last week. Like I said, no $80 or $100 sales. I've had a lot of watchers over the past couple of weeks on some really expensive stuff. I have sent out tons and tons of offers, but just haven't had anybody pull the trigger on anything huge. With that, that's going to put a wrap on this week's episode. As always, thank you for spending a little bit of time. My apologies. I did post over on Instagram and in the community section over on YouTube that this week's episode was going to be a little bit late. One of my best friends was celebrating his birthday this weekend, and I spent a lot of time out and about with him and some friends, and I just didn't get a chance to record this. So my apologies for this being several hours late, but better late than never, right? If you got something out of this, please do me a favor and consider hitting that thumbs up button if you're watching on YouTube. If you're not a follower of the podcast or a subscriber to the YouTube channel, please consider doing that as well. Memberships are also available. Ordinarily, when I record this on time over the weekend, members will get a early access to the episode on either Saturday or Sunday whenever I record it. I will continue to try to put these things out on time on Monday morning. Again, thank you all for spending a little bit of time. And now, it's time to sell. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.